Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Support WrestleTalk!
Give us a subscribe.
Hey everybody, I'm John Cena.
Hey, it's professional wrestler Colt Boom Boom Cabana.
Hey, I'm Double J, Jeff here.
This is Rich Swann.
Matt Riddle, the King of Rose.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Do it, bro.
Support Ollie. Support Luke. Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Home of Luke Owen. Whatever WrestleTalk is and whoever Luke Owen is. Quote the Raven. Nevermore.
WrestleTalk Rumble. No one's live.
Hello and welcome to the WrestleTalk podcast. I'm an excited Ollie Davis because I'm joined by the returning Luke Owen.
Hello, Swaff Nation, and a hello to you, Oliver Davis. How the devil are you? I'm not going to ask how you were with a week without me because, as you said on this very show, I do nothing. So I'm assuming that the ship just sailed on by without me.
Damn it. So you listen to all the shows. Well, you know, you can take solace in the fact that on our daily morning meeting on Google Hangouts, we're all there by 11 a.m. I checked in. I've been off too. I was off from Friday through to Monday. So this is my first time back. I popped in and, you know, Adam, Pete, Louie, Andy, Laurie, they were already there. I popped in and everyone went, "You're right, Ollie." When you signed in, everyone was like, "It's Luke! Hey, it's Luke!" It was like I was watching an episode of Cheers.
In fairness, I had a full week off. You just took... I mean, what is the fact? Because I didn't know if they had a morning meeting yesterday. With the pair of us not there, they might not have bothered. So really, they only missed one meeting with you, whereas they missed like a whole week's worth with me. So it might have been, you know, it's absence makes the heart grow fonder and all that. I don't think you had enough of an absence.
Do you not think you're the social glue that holds this promotion together? Without no. Luke, there would be no fun.
No.
It would
no,
just be numbers. So. I'd say, "How is everyone feeling today? Give me numbers." And Pete will have to say, "I am a 7. And Andy will say, "I am an 11 because I'm better than Pete."
Well, we can talk about our respective times off in the outro portion of this podcast, because I've also got something I want to bring up and raise as a potential new campaign that we could possibly run.
Ooh.
But we'll talk about this when we get into the outro portion of this podcast, because first up, folks, would you Adam and Eve it, Sasha Banks won the title. Probably should have just won it at Extreme Rules, really.
Or the next night on Raw.
And we found out what Asuka's potentially scrapped WWE SummerSlam plans are. Here is the show.
We're kicking off with this conversation about Sasha Banks being the Raw Women's Champion now. Of course, this situation first started unfolding at the horror show at Extreme Rules, where Sasha illegally won the title, really, due to champion's advantage. That belt should have then gone back to Asuka, but Stephanie McMahon, in her infinite ratings-grabbing wisdom, said, "No, you must face Sasha Banks to win back the title that's yours, because nobody holds it right now. It's in abeyance to effect." And that meant nobody could interfere.
But it wasn't. It, like, Sasha still had the belt. Not only that, she had nameplates on it. So, I mean, I missed last week's show.
Yeah.
But Sasha did have the belt when she came out. So she was the champion because she had her nameplates on it as well, right?
But so in
in the confines of wrestling, in the kayfabe world, I can only imagine that she made those nameplates and put them on because she believes she's the champion. But by the rules, Asuka's the champion, but Stephanie further complicated it by saying no one is the champion.
Okay, so no one was the champion going in. Cool.
Going in, Vacant was the champion, I guess.
Mm-hmm. With you so far.
But the key thing here was that no one can interfere. The title could change hands on a DQ or a countout. I thought they booked the match really well. Usually when WWE has a stipulation like that, every other spot right from the get-go is all teasing a DQ, all teasing a countout. But using the brilliant example of Money in the Bank 2011, Randy Orton versus Christian, blah, blah, it was only appearing in spots here and there. So you kind of forgot that that was in play.
I loved this match. Like their match at Extreme Rules, I loved this match. I didn't like the finish, much like their match at Extreme Rules. I did not like the finish. And it was just like this whole thing just felt like it was a victim of being in the sort of ratings grab era of WWE that we're currently in, where it's like, well, we don't really know how to, we're not booking anything long term at the moment. We're just shotgun affecting everything in the vague hope that some people will come back and watch this show. So nothing really, like, booking just sort of doesn't matter anymore. It's just, we're just doing things for moments. And that I think really affected this finish, where it wouldn't have mattered so much if Extreme Rules didn't have three other screwy finishes. And now we just go on to this show where it's like, well, it's just another screwy finish. And it reminded me of, do you remember like Adam's booking video he did about Jinder? Where Jinder won the WWE title. And he said there were some people who said, like, ah, well, he's getting good heel heat. And Adam said, yeah, but was he getting heel heat or was the company getting heel heat? And I feel that's what it is. Like, Banks getting the belts here, I don't think is heel heat on her and Bayley. It's just heel heat on the company for doing various screwy finishes and giving Asuka a dreadful title run.
Interesting. Now, I don't know if this is because I've got low standards, but I liked this and I had no problems with them winning all the belts. I haven't actually seen anyone make that criticism yet. Weirdly, I've seen quite a few people saying, oh, you all wanted Sasha as the champion and now she's got the belts, you all turn on her. And I'm like, who's turned on her? I can't see them, but now I know it's you, Luke. Hey, you are the person.
No, do you know what? Because I said at Extreme Rules, I wanted Sasha Banks to win. And I wanted I wanted them to hold all four belts because I love this act. And I'm very glad that they have got the belts. How we got there, I think, has been a bit rubbish. But, you know, at the end of the day, I suppose I did get what I wanted because I wanted Sasha with the Raw Women's Championship. It's just that, like, as I said to you kind of jokingly in the podcast intro for this show that we record the audio version of, I just think they should be given the title at Extreme Rules rather than doing these sort of screwy nonsense in a way to get ratings. Because that's why we're doing this, is because ratings are bad. So they changed the finish of the Extreme Rules match to be a screw so that we could do something on Raw in 2 weeks' time to try and bump a rating.
The problem is ratings are bad right now. And of all the ways WWE has responded to that, Ollie, the caveman has just said, Ollie, you have really low standards. Look who my co-host is. I know. Of all the ways WWE have responded to low ratings, which, you know, it's sort of something they can't control right now because of coronavirus, sure, but also 5 to 15 years of just bad programming, to be honest, which has failed to create new stars or make anything feel meaningful. Of all of that, I actually quite like the way this is all unfolded. I think this is more akin to a fun, hotshotty, sure storyline from the Attitude Era, where it's just chucking titles back and forth. It's not like Asuka had this great title run initially. She was only ever handed the title. So I'm not like, oh, Asuka's great streak. If anything, I'm kind of happy that it's been taken off her because I think Sasha is a great heel. She's got this great act with Bayley going on. And I'm really optimistic. I'm more optimistic about continuing this Asuka feud with the role models than I am for Asuka moving into a program with Shayna Baszler immediately. Someone who has had no real build and the legs cut out from underneath her since WrestleMania, because that the other part of this story is that Asuka was meant to retain at Extreme Rules, but that was changed last minute. And then she was meant to start a program with Shayna Baszler, who was going to attack Kairi Sane, write Kairi Sane off TV. That was going to be the impetus to the start of their feud. But that didn't happen either. That spot went to Bayley. So now Asuka seems to be continuing her storyline with Banks, which I'm all for, because it's been the best thing on Raw for 4 weeks now.
I'll agree with you on that one, because Asuka's title run has been nothing short of pants. Like, you know, she, as you say, because she was handed the belt, sure. Like, I think the way that WWE tried to frame it was, well, she won it at Money in the Bank, but really it never felt like she did win it at Money in the Bank. It really did feel like she was just handed the belt. And then she had that terrible program with Nia Jax. She kept losing to Charlotte Flair. Then she went into this feud with Banks, where she also couldn't win there either. And now we're in this position where she has just dropped the belt. So, yeah. It was a very, very bad title run. I'm actually much happy that it is on Banks. As I said, like, I just thought that the way we got here was a bit... It's just like, I'm not a fan of this ratings grab era. Like, you know, we are announcing WWE Championship matches for this week's show and then actually changing our minds, and turns out it's just a non-title now, because which is remarkable, because this show was taped last week on the same day that they announced it was going to be a championship match, and then they changed their mind within the 2-hour gap between the tapings.
Yeah, Vince is somehow managing to change his mind the week after the day of the show. That's like time travel shenanigans right there. But I agree with you on the Drew and Dolph stuff. Sometimes changing plans last minute doesn't necessarily mean a bad program, though. Usually it does. But in this instance, in the women's division, I think I'm really into the story. I'm really into the characters. So I don't think we've actually talked about what happened at the end of the match. This great match, by the way, really, really dramatic. Sasha feels the most credible she ever has on the main roster. That sort of vicious, legit boss act that she had in NXT. I feel that now. I feel that in these matches with Asuka. And they're working towards the finish. Asuka's leg's been worked over for the whole match. She's just about to get on top, but Bayley is shown on the Titantron attacking Kairi Sane quite brutally backstage, and Kairi Sane is screaming for Asuka's help. And Asuka runs back there, or hobbles back, I guess, because of her leg injury. And she gets counted out. That was the finish there. And later on, the role models are sort of joking around outside of Kairi Sane or the medics training room area. And Asuka walks out afterwards and lets loose this really emotional howl. And I'm into that story.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like I'm being down on this unfairly so, perhaps. And because, like, Banks just should have won the title at Extreme Rules. And you could have still played this out. You still could have done this beatdown of Kairi Sane, because Kairi beat Bayley last week, which now when you look at it, it's like, why did Kairi Sane beat Bayley last week? Because she's gone now. Like, it literally achieved nothing.
That's silly. Yeah, I agree there.
Yeah. And it raises the question, like, who put that up on the Titantron? Who showed that to Asuka to distract her? Because it wasn't Bayley and it wasn't Banks. So who was it that put it up on the screen?
The hacker, maybe. Ali turned up last week.
So I just think that, so you're telling me that you think this is better than Banks just winning at Extreme Rules?
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, what difference would it make, to be honest? That this is like it's an intriguing
storytelling.
Well, I don't think it's inconsistent. I think this is week to week.
I've been an absolute mess since Extreme Rules.
I think this is cliffhanger soap opera storyline week to week, where a gazillion things are happening, but they're not necessarily contradicting each other. Sure, that at the Bayley Kairi Sane thing is not effective, because Bayley should have really beaten her up there. Although, you know, you could make the argument that that's fueled Bayley's rage to attack her backstage here. I don't think anything actually jars with the story as it's been told so far.
I don't know, because like Banks didn't steal the belt. She did, but she was also kind of the champion. Like, I know you can logic hole yourself and say, like, she put the side plates on herself, but we're not showing that as an audience. We're just showing that she's coming out as the Raw Women's Champion with a belt that's got her name on it. And then like, ah, no, but Asuka's not the champion either. It's vacant that's the champion because Stephanie McMahon, for whatever reason, Stephanie McMahon is back to announce this match. That's why I feel like it's been a little bit sloppy. That's the word I would use to describe this. I'm all for cliffhangers. I'm all for like soap opera storytelling. But I think this is a sloppy way of doing it. I think this has been a sloppy storyline.
Are you accusing WWE of running a sloppy show? How dare you?
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Do you like wrestling? Do you like improv? Do you like role-playing games? And you'll love No Roles Barred, presented by the WrestleTalk Podcast Network. Six players come together to create a fictional wrestling promotion, roll dice, and create the kind of insanity that real companies can only dream of creating. Can Tony the Milkman survive the twilight of his career and still find time to care for his wrestling son? Can the Denimatrix overcome the vicious apex and achieve total denimation? Can brothers Golden Joe and Silver Bro coexist as a tag team before they combust? Find out now with the wrestling show that everyone's talking about. No Roles Barred is available wherever you get your podcasts and only presented on the WrestleTalk Podcast Network.
Let's get on with our Patreon shout-outs. We'll get to all your super chats after we've done those. We'll be reading out every single one. So, ding, 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 last call. But for now, thank you, $25 a month or more backers on Patreon, Colin McLeaner from Finn Balor.
Woo! Woo! Nice. Yeah. Benjamin, always the bridesmaid, never the McBride.
Yeah. What happened to the other 13? Man Bear Pig 14.
Scary stuff. Definitely not Daniel Odom backwards. Modo Leonard.
What? The Viennes el decimotercero. Jason Huertes.
Oh, well, I mean, good effort, mate. Glad you got that one. The King, Zachary McKinley.
Yeah. Jim Possible, Prendergast.
Nice. The D. John Mustard.
Yes. The intense Frank Campos.
Oh, it's intense. Just a guy, a Rydot guy.
Angelo Macedo.
Very nice. It's just a Matthew McFadden.
Thank you, Matthew. And probably funnier than Seth, Matt McFarlane. Thank you very much, everyone. Let's see what the super chats say. Everyone, getting your super chats throughout this show because we will answer every single one of them before we get on with the Raw play-by-play review. Wrestling is great sometimes, says, I know Asuka has great chemistry with all the four horsewomen, but her matches with Sasha stands out more to me. The physicality, the striking, the character work, and their inventive spots. It's just awesome.
That is... because Asuka's awesome, but you know who else is great? Sasha Banks. Mm. And like, I think one of the reasons why like wrestling fans are dead excited at the moment for a lot of this is because we're finally seeing the Sasha Banks that we've been sort of clamoring for the last 5 years. We haven't really had this Sasha Banks since NXT, and it's the Sasha Banks that we've been wanting since she came up from NXT. You know, she was just put into that the tag title feud. The tag title tournament thing that sort of went nowhere, and with belts that really didn't do anything. And then she missed a great chunk of last year, came back, had a brilliant program with Becky Lynch, but then that also led to nothing either. So it just feels like, yes, finally we're letting Sasha Banks be brilliant because she's so good.
But at what cost? And the greatest, one of the greatest baby faces of the last decade, Bayley, turning heel. Wrestling is great sometimes, comments again. I've always felt Sasha is everything the wrestling media claims Charlotte is. What do you guys think? It's okay if you wholeheartedly disagree with me, but this is something I've been saying for like 4 years now.
The wrestling media claims Charlotte is really good, because, I mean, I've always thought that Charlotte is really good, just slightly overexposed, whereas Sasha is really good and underexposed, I think would be the difference there.
Yeah, I was thinking about this earlier today, and you know, we joked about Charlotte getting all the belts put on her, and we moaned a lot about Charlotte because, like you said, she was overexposed in WWE. But Sasha and Bayley are across everything right now. They literally have all the belts, and I love it. And I thought, is that like, am I a hypocrite there for believing these two things? And I thought, no, because Banks and Bayley got over with the audience. Charlotte ultimately got over with the company. Yeah. And I think that's where the conflict comes from. The bad one, Ryan B. Bad. Just like at the pay-per-view, the Raw Women's Championship match was great with a horrible finish. Pritchard is ruining Raw, in my opinion.
I don't know if he's ruining Raw. I mean, maybe he's... I haven't said that. I've kind of enjoyed Raw since he took over. For the most part, I have been enjoying the show more than I was sort of the Heyman era of COVID shows.
Yeah, definitely. I don't know if I... You know, it's hard to talk about the later part of the Heyman era because you don't know how much of that was Vince suffocating what Paul wanted to do. But yeah, I also have been quite enjoying the last month's worth of Pritchard run shows. Aaron Watson, like Luke, I really liked the match, but didn't like the finish. But unlike Luke, I don't like that two women hold all four belts. Kind of hurts the division, in my opinion.
But it's all character-based. Like, them holding all the belts, it's all very character-driven, and in theory should fuel their split as a team, because Bayley Dostraps probably isn't going to want Banks two belts. And I think there's a lot of fun to be had within this. Granted, I don't want this act to split up because I think they're really good together.
Sid Art Online, in any other company or NXT, this Asuka story could go somewhere, not on the main roster though.
Well, it always could go into the storyline that Sasha Banks can't defend singles titles, so she just loses it back to Asuka at SummerSlam.
But was she the champion?
She is now.
In her head, was this a successful title defense? Fueling her run of really successful title defenses going forward. And finally, for now, on the same subject, the bad one, Ryan B. Bad again. This type of booking is only telling us that only women who matter are the four horsewomen. This is Vince Russo levels of booking.
No, I really disagree with that one, I'm afraid. I don't think it's not a case of the four horsemen. Like, Banks and Bailey are the most over thing in the company at the moment. Granted, we haven't got fans to kind of go on, but if you look at social media trends, which is all you can really go by without a live audience there, they are the most over thing on the show, and people really like that act. And this is the company going with something that's hot as opposed to actively ignoring it, which is the usual way they move forward.
Plus, you know, it's not the four horsewomen. It's just Bailey and Banks right now. Charlotte and Becky Lynch aren't around. But I get your point that they've booked all of WWE really around the four horsewomen. But, you know, they are the leading crop of women who have come through their ranks. They revolutionized, along with Ronda Rousey, the women's division within WWE. So I don't think that's the right thing to do. You know, you had Asuka in the mix as well. It's like saying, oh, the last 5 years have been built around the Shield. It's like, well, yeah. That's how, you know, you bring people up and then you keep building them up to a larger level. So I think that's okay. Right. Before we get on with the full play-by-play review, we've got a Quizzle Mania for you tomorrow. It's going to be me versus Luke versus returning arch nemesis, Sean Ross Sapp,
who has become the biggest babyface in the history of WrestleTalk. Somehow has become the biggest babyface.
How has this happened?
I honestly don't know, dude. Like, people turned on me, and now they're all rooting for Sean. I don't know how that happened.
It's a fascinating glimpse to be in the thick of wrestling history and the genuine double turn happening, because the fans wanted it. There's nothing you've done differently. They were just into the chase.
Yeah, that's it. I think wrestling fans love the chase, but don't like to see a champion on top. We saw this with Drew. And in fact, we're still seeing it with Drew. As soon as Drew won the title, there were people going like, nah, I'm bored of Drew now. Need to move on to something else.
We'll also have Louis Dangor, if he can get 10,000 signatures on his petition, which I don't think is likely because it's tomorrow and he's only got 3,700.
Not even Cash Wheeler could help him get to that 10,000 mark.
Louis's new best bud, FTR's Cash Wheeler, asked his fans to go and sign that petition, and his fans said no.
I've not been around for a week, but I did get to see. So we got a new editor come on board to help out with a few things with WrestleTalk interviews. And the very first thing that Louis did was name drop the fact that he's best friends with FTR.
We've got some. Just going to pop some messages on the screen here. There's
How did I turn on people? What did I do?
Radu,
I really like people.
Tanasi says, Luke, you turned on us, not we on you. Then we've got, where was the other one? Mohammed Safi, SRS is more likable. Hashtag,
well, that's true.
Facts. Facts spelt with a Z.
I mean, that's which true.
Discredits his opinion. And Save Us SRS from Bacon Rasher. This seems to be the slogan Sean Ross Sapp is going for.
Yeah, but you also skipped over this one, which is, come on, Luke, we love you, from Space Gamble Jr.
We've also got Luke is amazing from the same person.
Yeah, you found my burner account.
Yeah. Right, so let's get on. That's on tomorrow at 9 p.m. BST, which is, I want to say, 1 p.m.
Thanks, Bedazzle. And thanks
on the Eastern Seaboard, and never eat. No, 4 p.m. on the Eastern Seaboard, 1 p.m. California time, however it works. Right, so this episode began with Randy Orton coming out and cutting a promo about how he just woke up one morning, this morning, as a matter of fact, which was technically last Monday when they taped it, and just decided, I'm going to be WWE champion now.
I thought this was a killer promo.
Yeah, like, that motivation sounds really lazy and just a bit nothing, right? I woke up this morning and I wanted a WWE title shot. Give me a SummerSlam main event. That sounds, in isolation, rubbish. Randy Orton cut such a good promo with such good content around it. And, you know, 7 months of building his psychosis as this delusional heel where he's doing right by people by ending their careers. When he said that, I was like, oh, crap. It's like, yeah, he's got this fractured mindset where he's believable in that his mind has just switched now. This is my thing now. And you're in my way, Drew McIntyre.
And it totally works that it's Randy because Randy feels like the first legit WWE challenger that Drew has had. Ironically, it was the same for Kofi. Like, Kofi went through a load of mid-carders before getting an actual challenge against Randy. And it feels like the same with Drew. And it's good. But this Randy Orton character is so great. And it's so compelling. And he's cutting these amazing promos. And I'm like, yeah, I'm really into the possibility of, well, I mean, there's some possibility it's going to happen. We're going to get Randy versus Drew at SummerSlam. I do think it is incredibly bizarre, though, that WWE announced a title match. Like, Drew versus Dolph was supposed to be for the championship tonight. And then, like, you know, an hour later decided, nah, it's not anymore. But we're still going to promote that it is for basically a whole week.
If you watch my Raw review, it still is a championship match because I must have misheard the bit when it stopped being one.
They announced yesterday, like late yesterday, that it's now just a non-title match, which everyone thought was weird. And apparently the reason for this, according to Meltzer, the reason why it was changed is because WWE wanted to start the build to Randy Drew on tonight's show rather than wait another week. To which I would say, like, I mean, you still could have done that because all you need to do was Randy come out and RKO him at the end of the show. And that would have started off this program. You didn't need Randy to come out and cut a promo first off.
Yeah. Yeah. It's Orton did say at the end of it, you know, I'll strike you when you least expect it, something along those lines. And that's how the show went off air with Orton hitting an RKO. He also name dropped Stone Cold Steve Austin and The Rock as people he is better than. Throughout his career, he's got more longevity, he argues.
Yeah, and I think you made the argument, or it made the possible fantasy booking that they could show up at SummerSlam.
No, not in SummerSlam. It was just the names just poked at me. They jarred somewhat. And I'm not saying both are going to turn up. I'm not even really saying one is. But that is the sort of way WWE sows a seed. And if Randy Orton's whole gimmick is I kill legends, having a Stone Cold come out, because it won't be The Rock. But, you know, they need ratings. What the WWE do more than anything when they need ratings? Stone Cold Steve Austin or The Rock? I heard those names, I thought, yeah, or Vince McMahon. So when I heard those names, I thought, that would be a legit big SummerSlam build.
I think they probably just name dropped them because this is what WWE writers always do, which is, let's just constantly name drop people from the past that you recognize as an older viewer so I can say that I am better than them.
20 years ago. So Orton said that. He announced that he wants to face Drew McIntyre for the WWE title at SummerSlam. Then he walks out and then Nia Jax's music hits and Nia Jax walks past him, ships in the night, recalling that great feud from the Royal Rumble 2019 where Randy RKO'd her. But yeah, Nia Jax, unfortunately, was nowhere near as good here. She got in the ring and said, I also woke up today and I also want to be the Raw Women's Champion. And you know, when I just said all that stuff about it being really lazy, but Randy's performance was so good it made it work, and character, arguably, this was the complete opposite.
Yeah, this did not work at all. It wasn't a good promo. It wasn't very good content. Nia's not that great. I thought it was a bit rubbish.
And then Shayna Baszler came out to interrupt and they had a little brawl.
Yeah, which led to a match later on, which I'll be honest, I thought was pretty decent. But before we go to that, really? We've got more. Yeah, I didn't mind it. We've got more talking yet. Street Profits also came out for a promo to introduce the tag teams the winners of which are going to get a shot at SummerSlam. It's Viking Raiders, Andrade and Angel Garza versus Ricochet and Cedric Alexander, which Andrade and Angel Garza won. So why did the Street Profits beat them last week?
Yeah, well, it was 2 weeks ago. ago, wasn't it?
It was last week. Well, it was last week. I mean, I know I wasn't here for it, but I'd read the results and I listened to yours and Pete's podcast.
Well, okay, it was last week then. Damn you, time. It's ridiculous. I think, you know,
it's not the same tapings.
If I'm going to, and this is very apt, if I'm going to Pritchard this scenario, I think WWE were telling the story in their heads that Andrade and Garza had tag team problems, internal relationship problems, where they kept bickering and kept stepping on each other's toes and losing each other's matches. And that came to a peak last week when they lost against the Street Profits. And then they thought, okay, now we're going to become a coherent unit. And that's when they start the build to win the titles. Unfortunately, that isn't the story that happened last week. Instead, they performed quite fine here. And also, last week we've done that story. Yeah.
Where they were at each other's throats and now they're on the same page. So I don't think you could just do it again.
I agree with you. But they won pretty strong here. It was a good match, is the thing.
Yeah, fun.
I really liked the structure of it as well, where you had, you know, it was a three-way match, and Andrade and Angel Garza, you know, they're not dumb here, at least. So they just stayed leaning on the plexiglass while everyone else wrestled. You take chunks out of each other. And then the baby faces realize this. They drag them inside. I like that stuff. Ricochet then decided to team with Andrade.
What an idiot.
Ricochet, man.
Thicochet?
What an
absolute idiot.
Ricochet. It's so... Look, we love Ricochet. He's amazing. He's one of the most talented wrestlers of this generation. And his on-screen character is that of an idiot.
Absolute moron. Starts teaming with Andrade to beat up one of the Viking Raiders after seeing what Andrade was doing, after knowing what Andrade is like. And then when Andrade pulled him off a pin, was like, what are you doing, man? It's like, whoa. What were you expecting was going to happen?
And then Andrade, like, you know, explained himself, and Ricochet was like, okay, then. Oh, turned around, okay. And then Andrade threw him out the ring. What is the point? It was exciting stuff apart from that really rubbish portrayal of Ricochet. Ivar hit a top rope dive on everyone on the outside, but Angel Garza rolled Cedric Alexander in. Wing Clipper, love that move, and they won.
Mm-hmm. They sure did.
And they sort of had a scuffle with the Profits on commentary afterwards. I enjoyed the Profits on commentary throughout, actually. Usually they can be a bit obnoxious, but I thought they were fun here.
This was supposed to be the WrestleMania match. Do you remember? It was supposed to be, and then Andrade got taken off TV and Austin Theory got brought in.
Long-term booking. after this, we got Nia Jax versus Shayna Baszler. I'm surprised you liked it. I thought it was a bit awkward.
I didn't mind it, to be honest. I thought they went out there and had a fight. Like, they went out there and just started to beat the heckins out of each other. It didn't look great or anything. It's not some of Shayna Baszler's best work. But I thought this was all right. I mean, it was mad awkward at the end when, like, they were beating up the security guards. That probably should have been retaped. But, you know, for the most part, I didn't mind it. And it's something for them to do. It does feel like two unstoppable forces colliding with each other. And, presumably at SummerSlam, or it's going to be a ratings bop. So... yeah, I didn't mind it at all.
Yeah, maybe it's because the security guard beaten up bit is what my mind is left with. I thought it was a bit rubbish. Also, I've got this thing now. Whenever I see Nia Jax standing tall and her music playing, I just get this automatic groan. Like, oh, God. But Shayna Baszler, yeah, I guess they did have a good brawl. I didn't think it was anything special, unfortunately. And... The ginger guy was just, what was he all about?
Well, they couldn't get a t-shirt off of him, or the shirt that he was wearing. Nia Jax couldn't pull that over his head. So he just sort of stood there awkwardly, and then Nia didn't really know what to do. So the lad just sort of didn't really know what to do either. And then Shayna had to just sort of stand there and be like, and while some referees jumped in to pull her back.
Yeah. Well, that happened there, presumably the start of a longer heel versus heel feud, which will be an interesting one to see if they can pull off. Typically, that does not work at all. Seth's backstage talking to Murphy about how Dominic's going to show up tonight. Mark Henry's there, just randomly talking to Ruby Riott and Bianca Belair.
Well, if you're going to call him in to do a Nation of Domination reunion, but then don't do that, you may as well just use Mark Henry while he's there.
Yeah, just chat to people backstage.
Just chat to people. I mean, Ruby looked very pleased to see him.
It's painful the way some of these younger wrestlers, we had it with Andrade and Ric Flair, are obviously just told, these are the bigger stars. You must look adoringly at them when we do these backstage skits. And I think it makes them look like chumps.
Well, this is what I mean when you talked about the Randy Orton promo bringing up Rock and Austin. Like, they're doing that because they're stars. Like, that's why they do this. You know, they've done that team up with World of Tanks. Like, you look at the lineup they've released for World of Tanks, it is all wrestlers from 20 years ago and beyond. Like, there's no new talent. There's no Andrade there. There's no Drew McIntyre. There's no Angel Garza or any of the talents. No, it's The Undertaker. It's Sergeant Slaughter. It's The Rock. It's Steve Austin. It's all of the people that they built many, many moons ago because that's who they like and believe that are actually stars.
After that, we got Seth Rollins. I thought this next bit was actually really, really good. I love the Monday Night Messiah stuff. So Seth comes down, cuts an in-ring promo, talks about all the people who have stood in his way, have ended up injured or out. KO has, you know, he was talking about the ankle injury that happened at WrestleMania, but of course Owens has come back since then and even got revenge on Seth and beat him on the go-home show for Extreme Rules. But he's been missing since, so I mean, I hope he's okay.
He's done nothing but beat Seth since WrestleMania, basically.
Beat him and twice, even at WrestleMania, yeah. Exactly, yeah. So I don't know where he is. Hopefully he's okay. And then he asks Dominic to the ring. He says, like, I know you're here. Dominic gets in the ring. Seth kind of goes for a hug because he's this delusional messiah gimmick guy. And Dominic showed really great fire, I thought. Took down Seth. Tried to beat people up, but the numbers overcame him.
Yeah, I really, really like Dom here. I thought he was cool. So do you think we're going to build to Seth versus Rey at SummerSlam? Or are we building to Seth versus Dominic at SummerSlam? Because at the moment, it feels more like the heat is with Dominic at the moment than Rey. So it's certainly not Aleister Black.
Yeah, I don't know how good Dominic is the thing. I think I would like to see, story-wise, Dominic versus Seth. But really, the better idea might be a tag match. Buddy
Seth versus Rey and Dominic.
Or even Aleister Black and Dominic, and have Rey on the outside with in a manager role.
Yeah.
Because he is blinded. But yeah, so after that, this was the genius bit here. Aleister Black runs out to save Dominic because they're all buddies. And Murphy and Seth overcome him. And Seth just looks at Murphy with the sort of, you know what to do now. Like, it's sort of an initiation. And Murphy doesn't want to do the thing he knows he needs to do. And that is ram Black's eye onto the corner of the steel steps, just like they did for Rey Mysterio. And he does it. And as soon as he's done it, he looks like sort of shell-shocked with himself. I love this element of the Monday Night Messiah characters, because Seth did it as well after he stupidly ripped out Rey's eye at Extreme Rules. And that is, they have this larger purpose and they are willing to take whatever route necessary to get there, even though they don't agree with the route. So that it's really an ends justifying the means. And it creates these really psychologically complex characters.
I really liked all the Buddy Murphy stuff. I thought it was really great, particularly because, like, it's Aleister Black, you know, who is, like, it's Buddy Murphy's greatest rivalry up on the main roster, where they had that sort of, you know, series. I wouldn't say back and forth matches, because Aleister Black always won, but that was kind of, it was the point, because that's how Buddy ended up with Seth. So I really liked that it was him. I don't think it makes Aleister Black look particularly great, but I thought they did really good stuff with Buddy Murphy and Seth. I really, really like this Seth Rollins character. I kind of get why some people don't. But for me personally, I think it's ace. I'm really, really enjoying the character work that they're doing.
Yeah, and after that, Murphy went round to do the same thing to Dominic, but Dominic had recovered by that point, had a kendo stick. Boof, boof, boof. Great fire. So after that, we got the VIP lounge with MVP and the Hurt Business, Lashley and Shelton Benjamin. Ali comes down. What's your thoughts about Mustafa Ali being on Raw?
Hey, dude, like, I'm glad that he's back on TV. He's so good. Like, he's a really, really great talent. And it's really good that Raw had some plans for him. Oh, nope, wait, no, turns out they didn't.
Yeah, it's a real shame because...
Isn't it just?
He debuts, kind of, for Raw last week. He pins MVP, the United States champion. I think he's the US champion.
I used the word sloppy earlier. I'll use it again.
And they book a match here, which is Ali versus Lashley. Ali comes out in the VIP segment and George acts back and forth with people. He was very good at it and he had some rubbish material, but I thought Ali's charisma got through. And they have what I thought was actually a really, really good match where Lashley...
Oh,
did you not like it? I thought Lashley's strength versus... Ali's really good at countering moves.
Yes. Okay. But for me, I thought this match is going to go one of two ways. Lashley is going to beat him up for 90% of this match, and then Ali gets a brief comeback and wins with a roll up. Or Lashley is going to beat him up for 90% of the match, and then Lashley's going to win. And unfortunately, it was the latter that happened. I just thought Ali looked absolutely shocking in this match. Like, he's really good at selling, but it's the Ricochet thing they did a few weeks back, where it's like you just beat him up. I can't, like, 90% feels like generous, like, or not generous enough. It was like 98%. Ali did like two moves on him and then Lashley just beat him. So like it made Ali look quite rubbish. It's very much as like, all right, yeah, you've made your big return, but you are at a level. You're not big. Ergo, you cannot actually get any offense in on Lashley. Same with, you know, Ricochet. So I just thought it made Mustafa Ali look really, really pants. So I don't know why you gave him the big win over United States champion MVP last week. If all you're going to do on that same taping day is feed him to Bobby Lashley in what was effectively a squash match.
I got more out of the match than you seem to do. I thought it was quite good. But I don't disagree with the fact that Ali should have won. But you know what? Lashley should have won as well. It's kind of like, why the hell do you book this match?
That's it. Yeah, you just don't book the match then.
You've got Shelton Benjamin just added to your faction. He's the 24/7 champion. If ever a man should be beat, it's him. And then you can give Ali this storyline where he's slowly running through the members of the Hurt Business.
But to what end? Because Cruz is coming back, right? So, and like Cruz is still, I believe, the actual United States champion. I think. Let me go to WWE.com and see what they say.
Well, I think what you've got a lot more storyline possibilities if Ali gets a win over Shelton Benjamin this week than if he's beaten by Bobby Lashley.
Apollo Crews is still the US champion, according to WWE. just for clarification.
After that, we had Sasha Banks versus Asuka, which we've already talked about. Really good stuff. Regis Philbin got a video package for him.
I don't know if we really fully mentioned it though, but like it's now been officially confirmed as well. Kairi Sane is gone from WWE, sort of like, yes, you know, weeks and weeks of speculation of like, you know, she came in to do a couple of extra tapings, even though her contract was up. People were saying that she might be staying, she might be going. WWE themselves have now confirmed that Kairi Sane is gone from the company and this was her last show. So yeah, shame about Kairi Sane. I thought they could have done a lot more with her and I don't think they really got the best out of her on the main roster.
Definitely. After that, we got Murphy taking on Humberto Carrillo, which sort of raised more questions than it answered. I really liked Murphy getting this match. They framed it on commentary as almost a gift from Seth Rollins, like a reward. Well done. You passed the test by blinding that guy. Here is a match. This like the idea of Murphy getting hit to go out by himself is a reward for him. I think that's really nice insight into the cult of Seth. But as soon as I realized it was against Humberto Carrillo, I'm like, you were in the building when Aleister Black and Dominic were getting beaten up. Where were you, you asshole?
I know. I mean, I wrote down like Murphy versus Aleister Black. And I was like, well, that makes a lot of sense. And then when it was like, they played a video package for Umberto, and I was like, yeah, but it's not going to be Umberto, is it? Because where was he earlier in the night? Yep, out he comes. It's Umberto. He's back. And then lost to Murphy. Decent little 5-minute match. But it was like, where were you, dickhead?
Yeah. And finally, the main event was Dolph Ziggler versus Drew McIntyre in a non-title match. And this was where McIntyre revealed his stipulation after accepting Randy Orton's SummerSlam title match proposal. And I was excited because they really pulled it out the bag with Extreme Rules. They had a really smart bit of booking with the stipulation, and it resulted in a genuinely good match. But unfortunately here, I don't think they had that same level of innovation.
No, because Drew just comes out and announces that as a straight Extreme Rules match, which I thought was a bit like the what I loved about Dolph's, you know, keeping back the stipulation heading into Extreme Rules was it was all a mind games thing to be like, you literally cannot prepare for this match. And so Drew then was just like, I'm going to do the exact same thing for you. You can't prepare for the match. And then just announced a match that Dolph had been preparing for in the lead up to Extreme Rules. So it didn't particularly work for Drew. But then, like, you also don't want to announce a stipulation that makes you look like you're running away from competition. You want to make sure that you're positioning Drew as someone who wants an even playing field. So, of course, he wants it to be all Extreme Rules for both of them because he can beat him fair and square. But at the same time, I kind of almost would have preferred it if Drew was just like, that's just Extreme Rules for me, mate. Just so you can beat Dolph around pillar to post and send him packing.
Yeah, I don't really have an answer. I can't think of a good way to do this. It wasn't bad. It just wasn't as good as the really good thing they did last week. So why bother? You could have gone out on a high there. McIntyre just beat him up for a large part of the match. Dolph Ziggler got the low blow, came back briefly, but finished with a claymore onto the table. And then Randy Orton appeared to sort of officially kick off the SummerSlam build with an RKO from out of nowhere and posed with the WWE Championship. That's right. As reported exclusively first by WrestleTalk.com's Louis Dangor, he literally messaged me to say that for him. Randy Orton will be taking on Drew McIntyre in your SummerSlam main event.
I believe his exact words were, if you don't say this, I'm going to quit.
Yeah, he says that every week. I'm going to quit. I'm going to Fightful. I am very excited about Orton versus McIntyre. I think it really does feel like these two people who one's very good at being a heel, one's incredibly good at being a babyface, have been kept apart. They've been building separately for half a year and now they're going to collide. I'm very excited about that. I wouldn't say this was the most intriguing way to start things though.
No. This was just Randy says, I want it. And Drew was like, yeah, okay. And that's all she wrote. But I think that's fine. Like I'm not too upset about that or too bothered by that. Actually, I really liked Drew's promo where he was, you know, made the match official and said that, you're probably underestimating me, but that's what I want. I'm begging for you to underestimate me because that's what Brock Lesnar did. And I beat him in 5 minutes. So I really liked Drew's sort of rationale for this and Drew's promo. I'm loving Drew as champion. And it's the first time since he's been champion where I do think that his title reign might be in jeopardy going into SummerSlam. And that's going to make their SummerSlam match really, really exciting.
I really think that the best thing to do is have Randy win and get Drew to win it back when there's a crowd there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So overall, because I forgot to do it in my Raw review, I gave this a 4 out of 5, probably a low 4 out of 5. Maybe it's more of a high 3 out of 5, but we're splitting hairs.
Yeah, I think 3 out of 5's probably fair. I think I'd have probably given it a low 3 out of 5, maybe. Ooh. But yeah, I don't think that's too controversial to say. Yeah, 3 out of 5, I would probably say. It was a fine show. So just some things on there that I didn't like, some things that I did like. Yeah, it's all right.
Yeah. We'll be right back. Right, so all of your super chats. Huatrez 3216 says, love Wrestle Talk's work. Finally became a Patreon yesterday. While I wouldn't have had Sasha win, I hope she gets a long reign now. She deserves some good defenses. Asuka can take Bayley's belt as revenge.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like this is all built for Asuka to get the belt back, really. Like, you know, because, you know, Banks tapped her at Extreme Rules behind the referee's back. She was screwed at the end of it because she didn't win because Bayley put on the shirt, and Banks only won here because of a count out. Like, Asuka didn't lose either time. So, like, it really feels that she should be getting a very dominating win back and get the championship out of Banks's hand rather than Banks having a long run.
Stephen Keel, should Asuka just call it a day and leave?
Not with that contract.
I think she's been getting loads of really, like, you know, 15-20 minute matches week after week as well. So I don't know. And she is at the top of the division right now. I think if ever, with Becky and Charlotte out, now's the time she should just keep at it. And if you don't make it now, then next year, yeah, maybe look at your options. Wrestling is great sometimes.
The other thing I was going to say on that is that with Charlotte, Becky and Ronda off TV for some time, like Alex McCarthy posted up on Twitter earlier, that apparently Charlotte's been getting more and more TV offers, like outside of WWE. Apparently she's like, wow, she could be the next crossover star. When more of those things come in, like the more time you're going to be spending away, now is the time for like WWE to really focus on some of these other talents, like Asuka, like Banks, like Bayley, like Ruby Riott, Naomi. There's a whole plethora of, like, you know, women that they've got that to be like, okay, now let's build a division around them instead.
You got so excited, you punched your microphone.
With my watch, which actually stopped. This actually stopped on the 1st of July.
Wow.
Yeah, at 20 past three.
Yeah, all my watches have stopped working. I went to put one on for like my first function in 4 months the other weekend. And yeah, they'd all stopped. Wrestling is great sometimes. What I meant was how the media loves saying Charlotte gives every woman her best match. But that's clearly been Sasha. Sasha elevates her opponents while Charlotte always has to look better than them.
I would disagree with that. Funny, like, because I put up that poll the other week on Twitter that was like, is Charlotte Flair actually good? Because it was, you know, it's been a debate for the pretty much this year. And one of the comments we got really, really struck me, which is that, like, everyone has their best match against Charlotte. Like, I don't think you could say that everyone has their best match against Banks, but Banks is great. Having said that, I think Becky's best match in her title run last year was against Sasha Banks. So maybe I'm wrong on that one.
Yeah. I don't think the media is particularly saying that. I maybe you've sort of invented it because a lot of people, you know, do seem to praise Charlotte a lot, but she also gets a lot of criticism that's arguably undeserved.
Bob Wild, I mean, you are part of the mainstream media, mate. You are.
Yeah. Bob Wild, do you think they have a current plan for the women, or is it just week by week?
That's hour by hour.
Yeah, it's reportedly week by week. Marjo32, I can't believe Kairi has done. They wasted one of the best gimmicks of all time in the Pirate Princess.
Yeah, it's a real shame. Real shame. But she's got a great NXT run.
I don't think it's one of the best gimmicks, but she's a great wrestler. Ejam King, hey guys, thanks for the great content. I wanted Sasha to win.
At Extreme Rules.
At Extreme Rules. Wow, this is missing a lot of key letters, this comment. And Bayley to lose the belt and then make Bayley jealous of two belts, Banks, and have the role models break up at SummerSlam with Bayley turning mega heel on Banks.
Well, I think you can still get that, but with all of them, with both of them having all the belts, I think you can still get that story in there.
Yeah, I don't want them to break up for even longer now. I want this to extend out. Nate S. The way Asuka looked backstage, I thought they were going to say Kairi died, and that's how they wrote her off. I was ready to be pissed, lol.
Yeah, she did like the whole Takahashi. It wasn't quite Takahashi level, so I was just like, no! But like, it was a good effort.
Mm.
Bacon Rasher says, afternoon, lads. Is Seth's faction finishing before it's even a proper faction? The Mysterios have more of a group with Aleister Black, etc. I love his work with Buddy Murphy and I want more. And where is Austin Theory? Hashtag jam that jam. For a second, I was actually about to say they kicked him out of the group, didn't they? But that was Zelina Vega's Sexy Men that he got kicked out of. I'm going to assume he's out unwell and sort of in the same reason that Apollo Crews has not been on TV.
Yeah, we don't know. He's just been one of those wrestlers who's disappeared at the same time the reported outbreak happened. But yeah, it's weird, isn't it? But I think it's a testament to how good Seth's been in that I don't feel like the faction is winding up at all.
No. Tyler Sporline says, are they slowly teasing a Murphy face turn? You could tell that he didn't want to hurt Aleister Black. What are your thoughts on that?
I've seen a few people theorize this. I don't think they are. I just think this is a complex character where you've got two heels who, like I said, believe in the ends justifying the means, but they don't like doing the means.
Colby Dennis, do you think there's a reason that Ron Simmons and Mark Henry randomly showed up, or is it just to mess with the fans? Hurt Business can be legit moving forward. So yeah, the reports are is because they were going to do a Nation of Domination angle last week.
Yeah, they were going to either reunite them or start a new one, but they decided not to. So people were just hanging around with nothing to do, so get them on camera.
Chris Burke. Hey, guys. Chris from Houston, Texas here. How do you think WWE is going to do Drew McIntyre versus Randy Orton? Do you think they'll screw it up?
Drew has had, you know, both guys have had very well-booked programs over the last 6 months. So you would hope that this is also very well-booked. I don't know what angle you take with it, though. I've always been a fan of Randy inverting his Legend Killer gimmick and going after younger guys to almost kill the legend before it properly becomes a legend.
Yeah,
I see that's where his psychosis should naturally go next. So maybe that.
Mm-hmm. Daval says, even though Ali needs to look strong on his return, I don't mind him losing to Bubbles. That move when he sort of F5s them into the post is the best thing. So do you know what? I don't overly disagree with that because I don't think that he should be beating Bobby Lashley at this point. I think Bobby Lashley should be winning. However, you could have booked that match so it was more 50-50 and Bubbles gets the win at the end, as opposed to Lashley beats him up for 99% of the match and then just wins.
Or, key idea, not booking the match. Book a different match. For Wrestling Miscellaneous, the MISC, Nate S., it sounds like the tagline for SummerSlam is going to be, you'll never see it coming. They said it a bunch, and last thing going off air, annoying. Oh, no.
Nate might have stumbled upon something here, because now that you've said that, you're right. It was said a fair amount, wasn't it? But like, because I've watched Iron Man 3 again recently, so all I can hear is the Mandarin, you'll never see me coming.
You'll never see me coming.
It's now in my top 10 MCU movies, Iron Man 3. Bloody love
what
it
a movie.
Rewatch. It's great.
So good. So good. So, well, it's a Shane Black film, isn't it? That's his name, isn't it? Yeah.
It is.
I think you've got it there. Is it SummerSlam, you'll never see it coming, or you'll never see it coming, SummerSlam?
At SummerSlam.
Caleb Maldonado. Do you think the Adam Cole, Pat McAfee thing is a work? Also Jam That Jam?
Yes. 100%.
So I've been away. I don't actually know this story. Could you just briefly give me the headlines?
From what I can gather, Pat McAfee? McAfee?
Like the virus protector.
McAfee. He posted up that he invited Adam Cole to come do an interview on a podcast that I assume that he has. And then Adam Cole freaked out during the interview and did a load of swears and threw some stuff at him and stormed out of the interview. I was off as well. That's about as what I can gather. Mm. And then Ryan Satin posted up on Twitter, just like, unknown if it's a work. And I was like, you idiot, Ryan. Like, it's such a work.
Oh, we've got Adam Pearson up in the chat. You'll never see it coming. It's awful advertising.
You're not wrong.
But it's kind of reverse psychology. Maybe that's what they're going for. Over to you, my friend.
Should we just keep clicking this?
I don't know how it works.
It's because I'm also clicking it. Lynn Bell. See, it's not just the public turning heel on heel champ Luke Owens. Even Golden Joe agrees he's a heel. # give Louis a chance. If anything, I'm the one who's saying we should be putting Louis on the show. Does that make me a baby face now?
Over to Adam Pearson. Iron Man 3 had a Croydon reference. That it does.
It does.
It's because the co-writer lives in London.
Yes. Throwback 27. SRS is the Quizzlemania Slayer. He's coming to reclaim his crown. Watch out, boys.
You going to trash talk back to him?
I'm also going to win.
Yeah, take that, Fightful.
Bacon Rasher. Last week, I was Ollie Knows Nothing and Let's Have Wrestle Luke. This week, I'm like, save us, SRS, because I'm a fickle fan.
People just want to be on the hot new in joke, don't they? We should make more t-shirts.
Dan says, WrestleTalk is less negative with Luke gone. Sadly, Ollie gets affected by him.
Have you watched Pete doing the SmackDown review? He hates it. No, we it doesn't make me more negative. I said I liked a bunch of stuff on the show. And Wrestle Luke isn't negative. He's just, you know, critical.
Yeah, I have some thoughts and I give those thoughts.
Hey, if you want to see Wrestle Positive, watch the AEW reviews.
Really, I bloody good. Love that show. It's a bloody great show, do you know what? Dynamite. Show. It's well good, right? I didn't watch any wrestling last week, but I did go out of my way to watch Dynamite. Great show.
What an episode. I can't wait for this week. Genuinely. The card is just like one of those cards where it's no huge matches, but they're all really good matches I want to see. Best Friends and Jurassic Express versus the Inner Circle. The Dark Order of Evil Uno and Stu Grayson versus Hangman Page and Kenny Omega. Cody versus Warhorse. I haven't seen any of Warhorse, but I'm really excited to see. I can't wait. I don't get this way about weekly wrestling TV shows.
Genuinely cannot wait. I think it's going to be so good. Uptown Avondale says, should Bayley and Banks stay together until Survivor Series?
Play it by ear. Like, have the plan for the breakup in place and just test the waters. But you kind of want to pull the trigger before the act gets stale. It's never good to do it after. So maybe it is a good idea to turn it sooner rather than later. I don't know.
Last couple here. Bobby Stevens, that finish made Asuka look stupid. You lose the you can lose the belt on anything. I knew there would be something, but that wasn't it.
I didn't mind it. I thought her going to help her friend worked. But I can see why people would go against it because the belt was at stake.
And I think sort of like, you know, we said earlier that you don't really know how to sort of judge the Banks and Bayley act because we don't have a crowd to respond to. But what you can look at is social media trends of people talking about them. I would say, you know, the vast majority of the comments that we've had today have been about the Bayley and Banks act. And I just think that's a testament to how over they are and sort of how interesting a group that they have been. And, you know, our last comment from William is, I really think Banks and Bayley could be the main event or at least a high profile match at Mania next year based on what's happening right now. I really do think they're the most overact or one of the most overacts in WWE right now.
Yeah, it's crazy to think that on the WrestleMania card for this year was Banks versus Bayley. They were going to do the split, but they convinced management, no, we need longer to tell our story. And they've given it to them. And they've been amazing. So it's exciting. It's exciting. But that's all we've got time for today. Thank you ever so much for everyone's super chats. And thank you, our moderators. We got a few new ones. I think Mod Mother Jen is in there as always. But Dan Barnes, is it?
You can tell that they're new as well because they did a very standard template format. There was no wacky font changes like, you know, Bumhead Rob would have done. He'd have put some Comic Sans in there. Ugh. Or some windings if he really felt like it. Nope. Dan was straight down the line. I like that.
And I also think Gregory Nelson too. Thank you everybody ever so much.
Before we get into chatting about our time off and stuff, we had a clip sent in. Vinny of WrestleTalk Clips got in touch with a potentially funny clip for us to play on this show. That, you know, he is a man of clips after all. He said, just to give you an idea of my sense of humor, I genuinely cry laughed during the bathroom scene of the City British Wrestling High School Series Part 1. I had to pause it and everything, so I'd like to think I know what funny is. And this is the clip that he sent across.
You've got your sunrise. You caught a prize. You're mating your Johnson. Party nights, summer whites. You, your friends, and your Johnson. Rooster tails, water trails. You, your kids, and your Johnson. Saturday nights, distant lights. You, your girl, and your Johnson.
You and your Johnson, a way of life for over 50 years.
You and your knob.
What was it advertising?
Well, obviously, Johnson is an American thing. Then maybe it's like a holiday. Like maybe like it's like their version of Center Parks.
You think? Johnson? Is the company called Johnson or your Johnson? Am I talking about my Johnson or am I talking about your Johnson?
No, I think it's all about your own Johnson. And it's your Johnson holiday break, perhaps.
It's like an Austin Powers skit. No. But what was that advertising? Everyone, you know, the podcast listeners, who is everyone listening to this, it was just people walking around places or smiling in cars. You could watch that and just think it's for a dick.
And it's annoying because I've just Googled, because I thought maybe I'll be able to find something. So I've Googled Johnson holiday, and all I'm getting is news about Boris and his like holiday plans and stuff. So then
where's he going?
I think he wants to go everywhere and anywhere at this point. So then, you know, to get away from this bloody country. And so then I put US, and all the news stories are just like, can you travel to the US? Boris says no. So, it's unfortunate we can't actually find anything out about this at the moment. So perhaps we can put a call out to our American podswafters. Can anyone explain what you, your friends, and your Johnson is? You, your kids, and your Johnson?
It's weird, isn't it? Because your friends and your Johnson sounds like a good time, but it turns dark with your family and your Johnson. That sounds like a nightmare.
That's the bad thing.
Oh, no.
How was your time off, mate?
It was really nice. I put blocks on my phone, which I could get round. You know, I'm smart. I can disable the feature, but I think just 10 seconds of having to go into another app to disable the feature meant that I would, you know, take a pause and go, I don't need to check Twitter right now. I don't need to look at the stats on the back end of the YouTube channel. So I just had a nice time reading about the 1918 Spanish flu.
That is quite timely literature to be diving into.
It's a great book. I don't even know what it's called. I think it's called The Great Influenza. The Great Influenza by John M. Barry. Fascinating. Did you know how viruses work?
I didn't, I'm afraid.
I didn't know either. So, you know, like, you know, the coronavirus has all these little hooks on.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they're 5G and they hook on. That's not it. They hook on to it. So like cells also have little hooks. They're called like antigens or something. And the virus hooks onto those and then uses it to pull itself inside of the cell. And then it's like it essentially hacks the DNA in the middle. So it starts making more copies of the virus. Then you'll get like a million viruses inside this one cell. The cell will explode and all of those viruses will go out to the rest of your body and infect more bits of your cells. Isn't that crazy?
It's going to make linking into my anecdote feel quite awful, though. And basic and a bit baseline, because I was going to put on a terrible campaign off the back of this, because now I feel like we're in a very serious science lesson.
No, it's not serious. I made a 5G joke. That's just how viruses work. And I didn't know that. I just thought viruses, I don't know. I guess I never gave it any thought.
But I'll be honest with you. When I asked you, how was your holiday? I never thought you would give me a science lesson on how viruses work.
Look, a holiday for me is getting to read my book on the Spanish flu. I guess asked Anna, she would say it was going to the beach, enjoying the sun.
I was going to reread Watchmen. I feel like I should try and like step up my game a little bit.
No, you don't need to do that. Watchmen's good.
I haven't read it for years. Like, I haven't read it for about 20 years, I feel. So I felt like it was time to really dive back into it.
Maybe it's more appropriate now rather than ever. Maybe it's got a new sense of timeliness.
Maybe it's even more than 20 years. Crikey, it's been a long, long time since I've read it. So I thought, yeah, I'm gonna give this another.
You haven't read it in 20 years.
I think so, yeah.
That means you've been like, you know, 40 last time you read it. It's not cheeky been that bastard. Long.
Oh, you cheeky bastard.
Oh, you cheeky bastard.
What was your campaign? What did you want to launch?
So anyway, you know, remember last week we talked about how Celebrity MasterChef is now back on TV?
I watched a few episodes.
Did you? How did you put the ones with Thomas, right?
No. I watched the following week with, I didn't know anyone apart from Iahan. No, Riyad, his name is,
yes,
weirdly.
Riyad K.
Because I've done YouTube stuff with him before.
Have you really?
Yeah, he hosted my portion of the YouTube dial-in show. Yeah,
really?
Yeah. So that was because nice to see him.
So, I mean, and he was the reason I was going to bring this up. Mm. Because you and I joked when we talked about this last time that, you know, we're not going to get onto these because we're not particularly big. We're not YouTube famous. Like, you know, Stacey Dooley. What's her name? Who's the big YouTuber, lass?
Oh, with the TikToks. Kardashian?
No, she was dead famous. She, like, launched a calendar that was pants. And then she did like, what was her name?
Oh, no, we sound so out of touch. I know, the problem is, I know it's not Lizzo, but that's the only name that's in my head.
I was going to say, she's very English. What was her name?
It should be Stacey.
Yeah.
Is it Jennifer? Anyway,
she had a brother, and her brother also had a YouTube thing, and he got... Ah, my wife has just texted me to say Zuella because she can hear
Zuella.
Me. Thanks.
Thanks, Kate.
So anyway, so I thought, okay, well, I'm not a Lizzo or a Zuella or even Zuella's brother. Like, I'm not that famous. And then, you know, this Riyad fella is up on there. So I thought, well, obviously, I'm not as famous as Riyad either. So I had a look in. Do you know how many followers Riyad's got on YouTube?
They're called subscribers, mate. I'm going to say 98,000.
Well, it's higher than that, but not by much. Hmm. It's 378,000 subscribers on YouTube.
That's good.
We've got like double that.
So I think what our draw is wrestling. He gets people through the door because people just like him.
But there is that. Also, he is, I believe, an openly gay Muslim. So he's got way more of an interesting story to tell than just another white man with a beard. But I did think...
We need gimmicks. We're saying we need gimmicks.
I'm saying we've got a fairly sizable platform. Perhaps I can use this platform to get myself onto Celebrity MasterChef next year.
Oh, okay.
We could use this podcast.
So Louis is currently... Let's be optimistic and say 40% of the way to his 10,000 signature target.
Mate, 40% is very, very kind. Like, I believe he's like, it's nowhere near that.
37%, isn't it? I thought he had like 3,800 signatures.
It doesn't feel like it's halfway there, though, does it?
So how many signatures would you think would make the MasterChef producers take note?
The difference here is that this podcast, which is what we're doing through, has a much smaller audience than the WrestleTalk YouTube show and PFK. So if Louis is getting 3,000 signatures from PFK, which has got, you know, a much larger base than we have here, I'm going to say I'm going to get nothing. Like, if I put up a petition now, I might get, say, like 50 to 100 people that will actually actively click through a link. But also, if you then gave that to the BBC, they were like, who is this man? Don't care.
You might get booked on another show, though. I bet you could get Come Dine With Me.
What, Celebrity Come Dine With
Me? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe I could get it. Maybe I can use that then as my launch into doing Celebrity MasterChef. And then I just want to stop there. I don't want to do any of the other ones. I don't want to get shown up on Mastermind because that I will just look like a big thicko on that.
What would you choose, though? You've got some really in-depth niche areas of knowledge.
I mean, to be honest, I mean, and this is not to rag on Adam Pearson, but he did get well easy questions in his specialist subject of wrestling in the 21st century. Like, you know, one of them was like, name the tag team partner of Edge in 2000. Like, it was, you know, pretty simple stuff.
Randy Orton?
In 2000, yes.
Oh, right. I thought you said in the 2000s. This is why I am defending Loser.
Yeah, so I don't know. I just thought maybe we can, like, is there some way that I can we get in touch with the BBC? Do we have people on this who listen to this that have connections to the Beeb?
Let's see if people, yeah, come on, help us out, folks. If you work in the BBC as a, I don't know, a technician or a lowly researcher, this is the thing to make your name on.
Yeah.
How was your time off, by the way?
It was okay. I got to go see my folks, mm-hmm. both sets of folks. In fact, got to go see my in-laws and my parents. No hugging. That was weird because it was very much just like my dad was so excited to see us, and then it was just like virtual hugs, I guess.
Yeah. It's almost it's like the bit in the Muppets where the number is $999, like $1 off. You're so close. It makes you.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's awkward, yeah.
So yes, that wasn't pretty great. And then I had a bit of a dicky tummy, so that wasn't a great end to it. But we had a nice time while we were there. It was nice to see them. I just kind of wish it was under more huggier circumstances.
Aww.
Like I think me mum struggled a little bit being able to see us, but not give us a little hug. I think that was hard on me mum.
Probably
shouldn't have just gone, really. Probably should have just waited until it was fine.
Did you get the Johnson? Did you have a fun time with your family and your Johnson?
My family and my Johnson and my wife. Yeah.
Nice.
Right. Anyway, that's all we've got time for this edition of the WrestleTalk podcast. If you work for the BBC, do get in touch. support@wrestletalk.com. Also, just email in any general stuff. support@wrestletalk.com. You know, do you know Zoella? Did you know who Zoella was before we did?
I think we should... try and have loud chats where our lady partners text us the answers to what we're saying because they're so annoyed.
But thank you all so much for listening. We'll be back on Thursday with the AEW and NXT reviews and all the good stuff. Take care. I love you. Goodbye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
It's the question that's on everyone's mind. How do you live a good life? Is it about work, health, or relationships? What about happiness, meaning, and money? What really matters? And how can you dramatically improve all of these things? These are the questions we explore every week on the top-ranked podcast, Good Life Project, hosted by award-winning author and perpetual seeker, Jonathan Fields, which also happens to be me. Every week, I sit down with world-renowned researchers, experts, and scions of art and industry on the Good Life Project podcast. This week, in fact, we're sharing a fantastic conversation with the author, Elizabeth Gilbert, about a single practice that changed her life. Listen to the Good Life Project podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.